Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11, and we're just going to be the bookend of this series of messages we've been talking about, equipping the saints. Somebody say equipping the saints. Amen. We're going to continue in that today, and because we all want to grow up and we want to mature, we understand that the vision that God has given unto this house is to win the lost, train and equip the army of God to transform lives and communities. And we thank God for that assignment of training and equipping. But we got to win them, then we train and equip them that they may transform lives and communities. Amen. That they transform, first and foremost, their life is transformed. And then secondly, they transform the community in which they dwell in. Amen. So again, experiencing maturity. Somebody say, no more children. This is what we're going to focus in on today. Experiencing maturity, no more children. If you would, please go with me to, if you're in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians 4. And let's jump right into verse 13. Well, matter of fact, let's do 12, okay? Read along with me. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of, well, you can't do 12 without doing 11. All right, let's do 11. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, until the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every what wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Amen. Today we're going to move forward. We have talked in past messages. I'm not going to do a passing review today. I just give you the titles of the past messages. The first message was embrace the gifts. And we talked about the ascension gifts or the fivefold ministry gifts and how they are to operate and how they keep order and in the house of God. Amen. The proper put things in the proper place and the proper order within the house of the Lord. And then the second message was embrace the work. It says he gave for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. We learned that the work is just not physical work, but we're talking about a spiritual work. And that work is the work of holiness in our lives, that we will become holy people that can do a holy work. Amen. And then the third message that we had on last week was to edify the body. Somebody say edify the body. And we dealt with the building up of the church to promote growth, to build one another up. And we said that there's three ways that people grow in the how the church is built up or how the church is edified. The first one we said was the word. Amen. Somebody say the word. That was one of these songs that y'all sung today that talked about the word of God. I'm telling you what, man, that I'm telling it was right on. Amen. You know, it's always good to see that we sing messages, we sing songs that have meaning to them. Yeah. Every song is not a, you hear me say, every quote, quote, unquote Christian song does not build up and edify. I'm telling you. So you always got, you also got to take stock. We just don't sing anything in the house of the Lord here. We have a purpose of why we sing what we sing. Because we are wanting to bring, to edify, and to bring all of us into a place of maturity, even in our worship. Amen. And so we see here the one way to build up the word of God was to build up the house of God. Someone say the word. The second way we learned last week was say believers building believers. That how we're to build each other up on the most holy faith, how we're to build one another up. And we talked about that extensively on last week. And then the third way that we said that folks are to grow up, we said what? To build yourself up. Amen. Say to build myself up. And we said this was with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, where we build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Amen. And so these are the ways that we build ourselves up. We edify one another. We edify the body. We build the body up. So we see here as we culminate or bring this to a particular close here, we're looking specifically at verse 13. It says, till we all come. So all of those things take place with the apostles embracing the gifts, the embracing the work, and the edifying the body. that we all come into unity of the faith, verse 13, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And one of these things, and as I was studying this out, the things that the Lord gave me concerning that verse 13, it says that, first of all, that the saints all believe alike about their salvation and their Savior. You see what he's saying? He says now, he says, look, it says, till we all come. Somebody say time. He says, till we all come. He says, I give these fivefold ministries. We're going to embrace the gifts. We're going to embrace the work. We're going to edify the body until we all come. So that means all, A-double-L, that means all of us. Amen. So that means no saint left behind. Amen. Somebody say, no saint left behind. I ain't said no Christian. No saint. There's a revelation of a difference between a Christian and a saint. There's a whole lot of folks say they're Christians, but everybody's not a saint, because a saint deals with purity and holiness. Amen. And so we can't just rough over that word. See, everybody's saying they're Christians, but not everybody's saying they're a saint. There is a difference. Amen. And we're not going to grind that axe today. Amen. That's not what we're here for. But there is a difference. And a Christian, everybody's saying they're Christians, but there's another thing to say. He says he gave these fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, not the Christians, of the saints, or the perfecting of the saints. Amen. So we see here, it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith. And what the Lord is beginning to show me here, that the saints shall all believe alike. See, it says to the unity of the faith. That is what I would believe. And of the knowledge of the Son of God, so that all the saints will believe alike about their salvation and also about the Son of God. About their salvation, till we all come into the unity of the faith, that we all believe alike. See, because what you must understand, there will become a time in a day that someone's going to deal with your belief system. And your belief system has everything to deal with how your foundation has been laid. And this is why in the book of Ephesians, he's talking about how it should be that our foundation is of the apostles and of the prophets, and Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and how we are all being built up into a holy temple, amen, into a building, amen, in which God would dwell in. And this is about maturity. This is about growing up. So we want to experience maturity. Now look what he says here in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. Somebody say that. That we henceforth be no more children. Somebody say no more children. See, to experience maturity, we got to move from being children. Amen. So I'm talking about today, experiencing maturity, no more children. Because children are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Not only that, by deception, by the craftiness of men, of mankind. And so we got to know in what we believe in. So he says, let us all come into the unity of the faith. What he's saying here, let all the saints, that we must all believe, amen. And we must all understand where our salvation come from and who gives us our salvation, amen. And this is the way Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ says, no man come to the Father except he come by me, amen. The Bible tells us if we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ came, died, and rose again, then shall we be what? Saved. Our salvation. It's very important here that we understand, amen, who saved us, amen. Hallelujah, that not only are we saved, amen, but we got to know who saved us. And his name is Jesus, amen. His name is Jesus. So we're going a little deeper. Amen. Y'all participating today, amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. The Lord wants us to mature as men and women of God. And I believe every one of you that are here that you want to grow up in the things of the Lord. And so this is what today is about. It's about maturing and experiencing maturity in our lives, that we will be no more children. No more children. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I want you to see some things. We're going to go some places today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. When you get there, please say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. When you get there, please say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We got a talking problem today. I see. Well, you know what? I'm going to get it to you whether you want it today or not. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I know we still got some folks getting there. Amen. Hallelujah. Mm. Say, I want to grow up in the Lord. I want to grow up, brother. I'm telling you, I want to grow up in the Lord. I want to mature. I really do. I really want to mature in the things of the Lord. I've heard some statements in my past. I asked a pastor, a father in the faith. He was 74 years old, and I asked him, I said, 74 years old, and he had preached, had pastored for 45 years. And one of the things that Pastor Angel and I were, had the opportunity to be in his presence, him and his wife, and we asked him, we said, please tell us, please let us know the things that as young pastors, the things that we need to be aware of and the things that we need to watch out for. And this is what he told me. He says, if your success gets ahead of your maturity, you have moved into the danger zone. If your success gets ahead of your maturity, amen, he says it's a dangerous place to be in, Pastor. When the success gets ahead of your maturity. See, your success really has to, success will really show you if you have a character, what your character is all about. We all got character, but what is your character about? Another way, I said something profound, and you know God will speak through anybody, amen? I heard something profound, and it was amazing that this wife had said this about her husband. They're not even in the church. I'm going to say the church in general. These are folks out in the world. But I heard a comment that she made, and the comment was truth. And truth is truth, no matter who mouth it come out of. You hear what I'm saying? It's truth. And what she said about her husband had committed adultery on her on numerous times. And this is what she said about her husband. She says, my husband's success carried him to a place where his character could not keep up. She said her husband's success took him to a place where his character could not keep up. That's why he was doing what he was doing. His character couldn't handle the success he had. Because success brought him into a lot of different places, a lot of different levels, where a lot of different devils. You hear what I'm saying? And his character, or another way to say it was his maturity, could not handle it. And this is what we're talking about even today. All of us desire to be successful. All of us desire not only to grow spiritually, but we want to grow in the natural. Amen. We want to have businesses. We want to, all these types of things that we're talking about, we want to multiply. We want to increase, amen, in those types of things there. I should have learned. This is a lesson of maturity right here. You don't speak with chewing gum in your mouth, okay? So I'm going to take mine out. I learned that lesson a long time ago. You hear what I'm saying? And I was chewing here. I'm like, man, all right, are you going to preach or are you going to chew? Which one are you going to do? Amen. So I just got my little thing here and I said, yep, I got to get rid of that. Amen. 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 And I usually don't do chewing gum. I don't know why in the world I got chewing. You know, oh, God, yeah, yeah. I'll leave it alone. Let's move forward here. Are you at 1 Corinthians chapter 3? But are you hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is already saying about our success and even in our maturity? And we want to grow up. We got to grow up. But the place that you want to grow up is that you want to mature in the things of the Lord. Now, look at Paul here in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1. And look, we're going to read through verses 1 through 4. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So that word carnal is, somebody say, fleshly or worldly. Amen. He said, now, I couldn't even speak to you. He's teaching them. He's talking to them about their foundation. Because if you look down at verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which is given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another build thereupon. But let every man take heed how he build thereupon. Because they were fussing and having contention about who baptized them. Now, I want you to understand something here when we grow up in the things of God. We talked about one of the most important things in our maturity that we need to know back over to the initial scripture, what it says, until we all come into the unity of the faith. See, there are some things that are essential in our walk. And one of the things that's essential in our walk, we got to know who saved us. That's essential in your walk. You got to know who saved you. Amen. You got to know where your salvation came from and who saved you. All of us got to be in walking in that together. Amen. We must understand that, and that also he is the Son of God. Amen. We must understand. See, that's what I call, these things are essential to your salvation. But there are some things that are sequential, amen, to your salvation, like tongues, water baptism. You know what I'm saying? I mean, see what I'm saying? Sometimes we're getting fussing and fighting with people that don't speak in tongues. Amen. Tongues ain't got nothing to do with you going to heaven. You hear what I'm saying? It's the same thing with water baptism. Thank God. See, some people get water baptized to get saved. But we get water baptized because we are saved. What I'm saying is it's sequential, not essential to your salvation. And so you see here what Paul is dealing with these guys about. He started to deal with, he says, and I, brethren, look who you're talking to. He says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. He says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to what? Bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying unto you, we got people all over this sanctuary, and all of us are in different places in our walk with God. You hear what I'm saying? I like to, you remember, I'm going to use the world as an example. You remember, there used to be a saying, say, you young and dumb. And our young people, they not to put our young people down, but I remember when I was a young folk, I thought I knew everything. You couldn't tell me anything. And particularly right when they get around that teenager type time frame, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, they big and bad. You can't tell them anything, but they know everything. Amen. You can't tell them they got it down. I know all this, that, and the other. But the reality of it is they just got to live a little longer. Like all of us. And then when we live a little longer and glimpse back, you're going to say, I won't mature at all. Now, there are studies out in the world that tells us that an individual's mind does not fully develop until they're 25 years old. So if you're making decisions at 15 and 16 and 13 and 14 and 17 and 18 and 19, and if you're making decisions that you hadn't made a really good, healthy decision, because your mind haven't even fully developed yet. Amen. And then when you get some experiences in life on down the road, you'll look back and say, boy, I was a young fool. Can I get an amen? I mean, we get a few shouts here. I know I can do that. I'm not going to speak for you, but I know that I can do that. You know, I that we all can take a look back. So we want to encourage our young people is to allow time to grow up, and mature in the things of God. Enjoy your moment in the season that you're in, but don't try to get, you know, don't try to get into matters that are too high for you. That's what the scripture talks about, amen. you don't try to get too deep and too stuff that you don't quite understand, amen. Hallelujah. So let's look here. He says, now I fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? See, the sign of immaturity was what was going on around them. He says now, he said, you are carnal, whereas there is envying. That's when you envy someone, there's strife and there's divisions. He says, are you not carnal and walk as men, not as saints, as men, or according to man, if you define that, take that out. Look, verse 4. He says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? He said, now you don't start saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. He's talking about the who baptized them. And he straights them out here at verse 5. He says, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? He's talking about himself. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye what? Believed. Even as the Lord gave to every man. He says, I have planted, Apollos have watered, but God gave what? The increase. And so one thing about maturity, you must understand, it ain't going to never be about you. It's always going to be about him. It's always going to be about God. Amen. And he says, because if it becomes about you, you'll get caught up in the success, amen, of what people are saying about you. This is why we got to be dangerous about what we say to people, because we don't know where they're at in their maturity. You can say something to them that will blow their mind. You know what I'm saying? You got to understand where people are at, amen, hallelujah, and begin to speak into them lives. Because he said, I couldn't speak to you spiritually. I had to speak to you carnal, because the way you were carrying on yourself. You know, the Bible tells us that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not worldly. They're not fleshly. But they're what? Mighty through God. You see, they're mighty through God. And so everything that we do in our walk in Christ is what? Mighty through God. We don't operate in our carnality. You know, there's a such thing as we call carnal Christians, but there's no such thing as a carnal saint. Because a saint is holy and pure. You can't be a carnal Christian. You can have acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Savior, and if you read close enough, even in 1 John, John will tell you, look, if you're sinning, you sure ain't a God. I mean, if we get in these scriptures and read this word quite a bit, it'll make you take a different observation about things. But what I understand is that when people say that they're saved and their life is contrary to what they're saying, it has everything to do with their maturity. It has everything to do that they have not matured in the ways of the Lord. And so it helps us to understand that people are in different places in the world. So if someone gets, if God adds to the house and someone gets saved and they come in off the streets, it's a dangerous thing to put them on a praise and worship team and let them lead songs right away. You done messed them up. And then somebody out here hollering, oh, sing it such and such. Can you see how you will mess their mind up? They immature. You don't pull them out of the world. They ain't even sat down and got to know Jesus yet for themselves. You know what I'm saying? And then we don't put them on a platform, got them singing, got them doing all types of stuff. But, you know, but we're saying, no, Pastor, we got to get them involved. Get them involved in a Bible study. Get them involved where they're opening up the word of the living God. And they're growing and they're maturing in the things of God. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about experiencing maturity and no more children. So what you're saying, Pastor, you know, what we do not want, you do not want to be in a church. After 10 or 15 years, you look around and you got a whole bunch of folks that are sitting in regular chairs. They're sitting in high chairs with a bottle in their mouth. What you're saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is the body should always be about maturing and growing up the believer. Amen. No saint left behind. We want all the saints growing up and maturing in the things of God that they may fulfill, amen, that this is how Paul said, that you will walk worthy of the vocation in which you have been called into, amen. And so that goes through maturing in the things of the Lord, that you can fulfill the calling that he has upon your life. Can I get an amen? Please go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, since we're in the neighborhood. You know, we're talking about, he says, now I can't talk to you he says, I got to give you milk. I can't even give you meat. He says, I got to deal with you as babes. But I like 1 Peter. 1 Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow by. Now we all are going to be, we want to have the attitude of the babe. Desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow by. So how do I grow? By the word, by the same thing that built us up, edified us, is the same way that we grow by. I grow by the Spirit of God. I grow by the word of God. Amen. I grow by someone building and edifying and building me up. That's how I grow and mature in the things of God. So I don't want to be no more a children. I don't want to be no more a child. I want to grow up in the things of God. And that should be our desire, that we all want to be mature. And so what's the maturity, Pastor? Coming into the likeness and the image and the full stature of Jesus Christ. What you saying, Pastor? You want to be just like Jesus. Amen. Well, how can I be the Son of God? Because he was the Son of Man. He became the Son of Man so you could become the Son of God. So how can I? Say, Pastor, I want to be just like the Son of God. And that's what God wants. He wants sons and daughters for him, for his kingdom, amen, to carry out his kingdom purposes. Can I get an amen? I want to salute my son, Matthew. Amen. Matthew's in the house. Put your hands together for Matthew White. He's a freshman up there in college, and he's doing well. His grades are well. He's focusing. Amen. Hallelujah. He's a good son. Amen. He's a good son. And with Josh, over there in the other corner. Josh, a good son as well. Amen. And then our good daughter. Jerker's going to be graduating in 2 weeks from the University of Cincinnati. Amen. Graduating. University of Cincinnati. Amen. And so keep all of us, Pastor Angela, myself, and our family in your prayers, because there's just a lot of transition going on. And as we get ready to go through more transition, but we're, you know, but what we're understanding is our children are maturing. And guess what? As they are maturing, guess what? We are maturing. Oh, my God. You hear what I'm saying? God is maturing all of us. And he has a way of allowing life to mature us. And so we got to be able to embrace what life gives unto us. And life doesn't give unto us everything that we want, but life will give us what we need. And sometimes we mess up life, amen. But although we can mess up life, we can always get back right with the Father, amen. Because he said he come to give us life, and that life more what? More abundantly. Through who? His son, Jesus Christ. When you get away from Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, you get a bad life. You know what I'm saying? You get a bad life, because when you move away from him, you move into that other territory. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. If anything been taken, anything been seized, if it's still killing and destroying, you know the root of it is the devil. It wasn't from the foundation of our Most High God. It was from the devil, because he is the one that gives. Amen? He gives. He gives unto us. And so we can understand, even in our maturity, we can understand that wasn't God. That was the devil. See, that's why we got to grow up and know who he is and know how the Father operates and know how the Father moves and stop blaming something on God that was the devil was the author and the finisher of that thing. Amen? Hallelujah. And many times, and if it was the devil and we were Christians, guess what? I gave him room. I opened up the door. I know I'm not going to get a lot of shouts. That won't end the notes. Are you at 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Look at verse 11, please. This is how Paul said it. And see, this is what I love. Paul was so transparent about his walk. Are you at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11? Look what he says. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I did what? Put away childish things. So this is how we experience maturity. One of the ways is I got to put away some things. I got to put away childish things if I'm going to. Paul, now, if you believe that the Apostle Paul did childish things, how much more do you think that we as men and women of God are going to do some childish things in our walk? I'm talking about after you get saved. But he said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. And that child is an infant or a minor. He says, I spake as a child. So when I begin to look at this, the transition from a child to being a mature person has a lot to do with about putting away some things. Amen. And I believe we put these things away as we mature in the things of God. And so I thought about this. He says, now this putting away means to abolish, or to cease from doing something, to render it useless. Now look what he says he's going to put away. He says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but I put away childish things. What were the childish things? The childish things was, he says, say speech. He said, I put away childish talking. He says, thinking. Somebody say thoughts. He said, I put away childish thinking or reasoning. My thought is my reason. He says also what I understood. That's my reasoning. And then my thoughts is my thinking. So he says in my speech, in my reasoning, and also in my thinking, I had to put away some things. Some childish ways that I did. I was childish in my thoughts. I was childish in my reasoning, and I was childish in my thinking. And this is why I was giving examples of teenagers, how they can talk to you like they so deep. And they don't understand it. Son, you're childish in your reasoning. You're childish in your talking and in your thinking. I know I can't. I'm trying to tell you, and I know you can't understand it, but just live long enough. Amen. If nothing else, amen. Like Paul said here. See, this is how we got to tell our children. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I thought as a child. You know what I'm saying? I did all these, but when I became a man, I had to put away childish things, sons and daughters. I had to do this, so that I can go on into maturity, so I can grow up in him. And so this is what we're dealing with today when we're talking about experiencing maturity, that as we grow up, we put some things aside in our lives. Amen. I want you to turn with me to 1 John, and we're going to remain in 1 John for the remainder of the message. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Boy, I love this 1 John chapter 2, but I love the Bible, though. You hear what I'm saying? I mean, I just like the Bible. You know, last week we dealt with this when we were talking about edifying, the building up the body. We're not going to go over to Hebrews today. But in Hebrews 5, where he says, where you ought to be teachers, he says you got to be taught all over again. He says the elementary, the rudimentary teachings of God. He says, well, you ought to be teachers. So there's a thing that when we mature in this thing, we should move to a place where we should be teaching other people. And so about the things of God, our maturity levels, that we should move into maturity. And then he begins to talk about them, that he said, let us go on to perfection. He was saying maturity, not laying again the foundation of dead works. He said, we can't lay this same foundation again. You mature. Let us go on. If we're going to go on to perfection, we can't lay that again. He said, we've laid the foundation of dead works, repentance from dead works. Then it says faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands. Amen. And then he talks about the resurrection of the dead and what? Eternal judgment. He says, you got to know all of those things. Those things are foundational types of things. Amen. He said, you got to know that you got to repent from dead works. You cannot do dead works. And we talked about what dead works were. We talked about dead works, good works, you know, all of those things. The Bible says, and they should do greater works. Is that? We didn't talk about the greater works. Amen. But greater works. Amen. But all these types of works, and evil works was the other thing that we talked about. He says, repent from those type of things. Repent. But we should do good works and greater works for him. But we repent from the dead works of the evil works. Amen. But then it says, have faith towards God. This is foundational. You got to repent for something before you can have faith. I always say that, see, brokenness leads to repentance. If you ain't broke about a situation, you'll never repent about it. What I'm saying is, if you had not been broken in your heart about something that is contrary to God, you'll never repent about it. Well, what does repentance mean? To change your mind. You'll never change your thinking about it until you get broken about it. You got to be broken about this, because brokenness leads to repentance. So we said repentance from dead works. And when you repent, then you have what? Faith towards God. Faith towards God. And then the doctrine of baptisms. There are at least 6 or 7 baptisms in the Bible. The baptism of water, the baptism with fire, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, amen. The baptism into the cloud and the sea, amen. You can just keep going on. There's baptisms. All the baptisms that we need to have some understanding about. I might just need to teach on that, Pastor Angela, somewhere along the year, amen. Because we need to have our foundation solid. So then he says, on the laying on of hands, let no man lay hands on you quickly. Amen. Don't let him do that. But the laying of hands, why do we get hands laid on us? It's for impartation. Amen. Ordination. Amen. I mean, there's reasons why we lay hands on one another. We just ain't laying hands on people and praying and laying hands on people. But we do it because there's a purpose about it. He says that's a foundational thing. You got to know and understand what it means to lay hands on people. And then he says eternal judgment. Amen. Of the resurrection of the dead. Amen. That's the first. The resurrection of the dead. He says, you got to understand that when the dead in Christ rise again, what's going to happen in the end time? What's going to happen? How is it going to all go down? What's going to go with the resurrection of the dead? That's going to be 2 resurrections. Amen. And you got to understand those resurrections of end times. Amen. But he said, you got to understand the resurrection of the dead. Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. Amen. And if you ain't going, if your resurrection is not in him, oh, sorry for you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm sorry for you. Amen. But we must understand the resurrection of the dead and then eternal judgment. We must understand, amen, that as a saint, amen, I'm going to stand before God and I got to give an account for my life. And if I'm not a Christian, amen, I got to stay before the great throne of judgment. Amen. Everybody, every knee going to bow, every tongue going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. So these are all foundations. He says, now let us move on to perfection. Let us move on to maturity. Let us grow up in the things of God here. Now, what's interesting about this is We've heard, I talked about Peter. Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word of God. Now, before Peter said that, he says, lay aside malice, hypocrisy. He named a few things. James, I think about James. James says, lay apart all filthiness, superfluity of naughtiness, and with meekness, received and grafted word of God that's able to do what? Save your soul. What he was talking about was maturing. All these apostles that was writing these things, the apostle had the heart. They wanted to see everybody say, grow up. He didn't want anyone to be no more children. So we see James had this in his spirit. We see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul had it. Peter had it. All of them have this upon their hearts. And I believe that any good pastor wants to see the sheep grow up, wants to see them mature. And I believe any person, I know I'm the type of person, if I get into anything, I'm going to the top. y'all know my story about the Masons. I got in that mess. But when I got into Sister Cotton, I said, I'm going to the top. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do it to the man. I'm one of those guys. See, pastors, what y'all got to understand about pastors and about leaders, you need to pray for your pastor. Not just your pastor, but your leaders. I mean, and pastors are men of home. See, when we're in these roles of leadership, it's a dangerous role to be in, because the enemy trying to bring you down. He told us, if he can get that man broken down, if he can get the leader of the house, this is why I know that this got to be a house of worship. This got to be a house of praise. This got to be a house where God dwells in. Because if it isn't, I'm no better, and I'm not even better. Look, I'm not better with him. I'm different, amen, because of the betterment. And the betterment is not me. It's him. It's him. It's him. And I know I cannot operate without him in my life. I ain't talking about without him one day. It don't take me long. And what I'm saying, it got to be about him all the time, Nay. About him all the time. Because the minute that it becomes about me or somebody else, amen, I veer off. I get off the path that he wants me to be in, amen. This is about maturity. When you move to maturity, you see him in everything. When you walk in maturity, you see him in every situation, every circumstance, because it's all about him. It's all about him. And when it become about him, it'll become about you. He got your back. God has your back. He wants to take care of you, and he wants to see the very best for you. Are you at 1 John? 1 John, please go with me to chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John, chapter 2, verse 1. And we see John here. John is one of the apostles, the apostle of John. And we're going to see here, I've taught in this place before in the house of the Lord. For some of you, this is going to be review. Amen. Hallelujah. For all of us, it's going to be true. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Review and true. Amen. Hallelujah. But for all of us, we really need this. We need to hear this. Now, look what he says in 2 and 1. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. Are you there? Okay, and it reads, it says, my little children. Somebody said, little children. These things I write unto you that you what? Sin not. So what do little children do? I need to hear that loud. Sin. Little children do what? Sin. Now sin is the word harmatia in the Greek, and it means to miss the mark. Somebody say little children miss the mark. Think about this in the natural. Your little children, they get, because they don't know any better. This is why Paul said, Paul always talked to the church about not being ignorant. He always tell you, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about this, you know, because they were childish and they didn't know. And so, but children, little children, they do things. They miss the mark many times. Because why? They're little children. And we got to teach the little children so that they won't miss the mark all the time. But look what he says. He says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You hear that? He says, but if any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father. I love that. I love, because that word advocate means an intercessor and a counselor. Now, think about this. A father telling a son, says, son, you missed it. You see what I'm saying? He gave him instruction, but not correction. Or he gave him correction and no instruction. Look, that's one of the saddest things you can do, is go tell somebody and correct somebody about something as a mature Christian and don't give them any instruction. And if you're going to correct anybody or give anybody any insight, you need to have some scriptures open. Amen. First of all, you need to know that you're living according to that. Because let me tell you how these gifts work. And this is why Paul writes over there, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He said, now, you get caught up in all those gifts. He was talking about the manifestation gifts, but I believe he's talking about all of them. He said, now covet the best gift. But he says, I got a more excellent way to show you. Yes, he did. He said, go believe God for the very best gift. But I got a more excellent way. See, you can take that gift that you got and work that gift in the wrong way. And you'll be hard towards someone. You could even be the prophet, squaring them away while you ain't even squared away. You hear what I'm saying? You could give them the verse, the scripture, and tell them to get in line, and you ain't even in line. I'm telling you, this is a dangerous thing. So when you go to somebody, you got to always go in love. You got to go in. Look, we got to watch who we correcting, amen. See, if you're gonna be correcting, you got to be able to be corrected yourself. And you never mature to a point where you're not being corrected. Amen. See, when you're experiencing maturity is when you are being corrected in life. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is, in order for me to grow in God, I must receive some correction. But with that correction, I need some instruction in life. Now, look what he says. He says, little children. He says, I'm telling you to sin no more. Why? Because little children sin. What you're saying, babes in Christ, when they get saved, they're tending to still do some of the things that they used to do before they got saved. He said, now I write to you, little children. He says, now your sins have been forgiven you. Your sins have been forgiven you. What he's telling them is, look, and I've always said to you, when someone gets saved, sometime they'll wear this altar out. They can get saved the first Sunday, the second Sunday, the third Sunday, 2 or 3 months go by, they still come back down here. They want to get saved all over again. They need insurance. They're little children. And they're still getting pulled on out here in the world. I want to live right for Jesus. I'm saved now. And I desire to grow, but I'm back and forth. I'm back and forth. And John is saying, little children, I write unto you, little children. And he says, and unto you that ye sin not. Now he says, sin not. But he says, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, he's giving him what? He's correcting them, but he's also giving them what? Instruction. He said, but if any man sin, we have an advocate. We have a counselor, an intercessor with the Father. This is what he said. And his name is Jesus Christ, what? The righteous. He's keeping this thing very foundational. You got to know who your Savior is, and you got to know who's Savior. We all got to come into the unity of the faith. Who saved us, who our Savior is, and who his Father is. He's the Son of God. You hear what I'm saying? You got to understand, because this is where the devil is going to try to come. We're going to see this here. And this is why, what we have taught already in the Bible, you go back and read in Ephesians, 1 Peter, he's trying to lay a foundation upon them, because there's going to be certain type of teachings that he said they're going to come right up in the church. And they're going to try to deceive you and take you away from the things of God. And if you're not mature in the things of God, if you don't grow up, if you're no longer children being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the slate and the craftiness of men, he said, you got to watch out for these types of things. And these things are alive today. They're not just alive. I'm talking about people that are Christians, amen, that are teaching things that are not of God. I mean, they're very questionable. And you got to know in whom you believe. That's why I say every top got to be able to stand on its own bottom. Every top must be able to do this. So we're talking about experiencing maturity, no more children, no more children. So we're going to look at this. John is really going to break this down for us. I want us to go on. Look at verse 2. It says, and he is the propitiation or the atonement for our sins. And not only ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Who's he talking about there? Jesus. He's talking about Jesus. Now he says, little children, now look down at 1 John 2, verse 12. Are you there? He says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his what? Namesake. He's telling them again. He said, I write unto you, little children, your sins are forgiven. Then he says, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is what? From the beginning. That's maturity there. You have known him from what? the beginning. That's fathers. Then he says, I write unto you, what? Young men, because you have overcome what? The wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. See, the little children even know the Father, but they haven't known him from the beginning like the fathers had. They have not matured, amen, in their walk with him. And so we see the three stages here. Somebody say the little children, the young men, and the fathers. And these young men could be young women, and it could be, you know, mothers and fathers, you know. But we see here the maturity that he's talking about. Now, I want us, we're going to go through this word, and we're going to hit some different places in 1 John. I want you to see some things of how he talks to these little children. Because he ultimately wants to get the little children to become young men. Now, look at verse 14. He says, the same place, verse 14. He says, I've written unto you, fathers, because you have known him, that is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are what? And the word of God abides in you, and you have what? Overcome the wicked one. So you see the characteristics of the young person. He says, now you strong. He said, the word of God. He says, you are strong. Young men, you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and you have overcome what? The wicked one. So that's a stage of it. He said, little children, I write unto you, but your sins have been forgiven you. But if you sin, you got to advocate with the Father. Young men, I write unto you because you are strong. The word of God abides in you, and you overcome the wicked one. And then it says, Father, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him from the beginning. They're mature. You see the stages of here that he's writing unto this church, and he's writing to them at different stages. They're at different stages of maturity. Well, I want you to understand that everyone that is sitting here, you're at a different stage. Some of you are little children, and it's okay to be a little child, amen, in the things of God. But you saying your confession be no more children. Some of us are young men or young women in the things of the Lord, amen. But we want to move towards being mature men and women of God. When we say let the mothers or let the women of the church teach the young women. Now you may need to understand this. It ain't because they just old. Let's get that real clear. I haven't earned a spot because I'm old. Because look, just like that young fool, I've seen some old fools. Some 50-year-old fools, some 60-year-old fools, some 70-year-old fools, and some 80-year-old fools. You hear what I'm saying? Yeah, people don't climb the rank through my age. You know, I should be the mother of the church because I'm just old, amen. But you look. But sister, but your life, what is our life like? But this is what we shall all desire, is to grow up. Now the Lord showed me something. He said, son, if you ever stop one day preaching and no longer pastor a church, you still gonna be a leader of leaders. It don't have anything to do with my position. I can be a father of men, whether or not I'm a pastor or not. It has to do with my maturity in him. And as I mature in him, God, he'll give me young men, amen, in my life, amen, for me to help them develop them and to grow them up in the things of God. What you're saying, pastor? I said, as all of us mature, God will give you people. You don't have to have the fivefold ministry title. You don't have to have the gift of this, that, and the other. All you got to have is the Son of God in your life. You got to be saved, amen. And you got to know he is your Savior, amen, and that he is the Son of God and that you are maturing in the things of God. As you grow up, he's going to give you people in your life. God will promote you even when man don't want to promote you. God will promote you, amen. So he wants all of us to grow up. I want you to see a few more things here. Now look what he says after he tells them this in verse 14. He breaks down, he says, little children, young men, and then he said, the Father. Look what he said. He says, love not the world, 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see that? Now I'm not going to deal with that. You can deal with that in your own time. But look, he lays it out to him, Sister Nene, Sister Alicia Jackson. He lays that out to him. And after he lays that out to him, he tells them to love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. He said, look, this is a good father. A good father would tell the son, look, as you're growing up, look out, don't y'all love that world out there? Dad, we going to the club, and we going to go juke, and we going to do our thing. Well, don't expect to be singing on the youth choir on Sunday. Don't expect to be given. We praising the Lord on Sunday. We singing and we moving the tie tribute and we got our dance thing on. But you were what at? Now, one thing about the military, one thing I learned about the military when I was in the military, there's a lot of religious folks in the military. And this is what I learned. And even as an officer in the military, it was customary to go out and party on Saturday night, but to be, because the chaplain was going to preach on Sunday. So it was the good officer thing to do, to be in the chaplain on the chapel on that Sunday morning. Amen. I guarantee you right now that there are many chapels across this great United States that are jam-packed right now. That chaplain is preaching his heart out. And I'm telling those folks, them folks were in the club last night, but here go the thing. And they're not thinking about changing their mind. You hear what I'm saying? This is customary to them. There is no change, Sister Nate. There's no change. It's a week after week after week after. This is just how we do it. We sin and we come to church. We ask for forgiveness. We sin, we come to church. We ask for forgiveness. And that's not how it works. Nah, you got to come to a place that I don't want to no more be a child. I want to grow up in the things of God. Amen. So look at this here. Now go down, please, with verse 18. We're about finished. Verse 18. He says, little children, who's he speaking to again? He says, little children, it's the last time, and as ye have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now are there what? Many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, what's anti? Means what? Against. So he said, now, little children, let me let you know something here. He said, I want little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, he says, even now are there many Antichrists. That's people that are against Christ. He says, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now look what he says. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made what? Manifest that they were what? Not of us. Oh, my God. He said they was running with us. Then they went out from us, but they had to go out from us so it could be made manifest that they weren't with us. Some of us can run good with the crowd. But see, your test is when you go out here. And then he says, when they go out among us, it's either going to validate if you were with them or not. You know what I'm saying? Because this world will pull on you. It will scratch you. Ooh, it give you everything that you want. So when you out here doing your thing, you got to make sure that, I'm with them and not with them. I may be out here doing, but I got to make sure I'm with them. But he said, I'm telling you, that meant the Antichrist. And he said, the Antichrist is going to be right up in the church. But he said, the way they're going to manifest themselves, they got to go out from among us. And when they go out from among us, we're going to know that they were never really with us. Amen. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying here. He said, the Antichrist. So he's telling the little children, he said, little children, the Antichrist. Now, if I was a little child, I would be afraid. Would you not? Antichrist, what he talking about? Somebody might be young in here, young child, young Christian. What he said the Antichrist is out, and there's many of them, and they everywhere. What he? I can't get all over. Now, if I was a little child, I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid. But that's why you got mothers and fathers. You hear what I'm saying? That's why you got mothers and fathers in the natural. I know that bully might be bullying you at school, but you need to let mom and daddy know. You need to let the authority know or whatever. Because if the principal don't do anything about it, you best guarantee you your daddy going to show up. School will be out concerning my child. School will be out that day. You hear what I'm saying? But this is the same love that the Father has for us, his children. He said, look, if that Antichrist, those suckers come bullying up on you, look, I'm going to show up. Now, this is what I like about it. Now, look what, now he gave them some insight. Now, he's getting ready to show. Now, he's getting ready to say, look, now, relax now, because it's okay. Look what he says here. Verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. He said, little children, they're going to be Antichrist, but you got an unction from the Holy One. It's called the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says, and you know all things. What he's saying, even as a little child, you're going to know who the Antichrist is. you're going to know who is against God. You're going to, I'm not going to let you be deceived if you're in me. You, look, you got an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Amen. Somebody say, in Christ, I know everything that I need to know. I know everything that I need to know in Christ. I know this in Christ. Look what he goes on to say here. Please go with me, and we're I want to bring us 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Look at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Are you receiving anything today? I'm telling you, we're about finished, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7. Do you see verse 7, chapter 3? It says, little children, let no man do what? Deceive you. Now, you see how he's dealing with it? He said, now they're going to be antichrist out there. He said, no, I don't want you to let no man deceive you. Look what he's saying here. He says, little children, let no man deceive. Why is he saying this to little children? Because little children are the most vulnerable people in the kingdom of God. Do we understand that? They're the most vulnerable people in your house are your children. The most vulnerable. The most, I'm telling you, are our young people. And that's why next week I'm consecrating every one of them. I'm laying hands on our young people next week. Let them know that you got an unction to function with. And not just because you're a little child in age, but you can be mature in the things of God. You can know God as a little child. You still going to need to grow up in him. But I'm going to lay hands on you. We're going to believe God, amen, that God going to use you. You ain't got to get old in age for God to use you. God can start using our little children where they're at right now, amen. So he says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committed sin is of who? He that committed sin is of what? Oh, God. Y'all reading your Bible with me? I need everybody to read this because you got to understand where you're at. He that committed sin is of who? Oh, y'all scared to say that? I didn't tell you I was in First John chapter 3. Okay, First John chapter 3. What y'all tell me that? Y'all letting the pastor be in the dark. Forgive me, Lord. First John chapter, I told you we were going to end in First John, didn't I? And y'all let me go away from First John. Oh, gosh. Now, I told y'all, I said we're going to end in First John, all right? First John chapter 3. Is everybody there? I blame it on the sound, man. Are you there? I wonder why they ain't. They afraid to read that scripture? I'm going to have whatsoever I say. Forgive me, okay? Amen. Forgive me, church. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. What did I say? What in the world? 1 Corinthians what? 3 and what? Okay, y'all might need to check that out. I don't know. I don't know what that's saying. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. I'm going to read verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. And this is about what? Deception. He that doeth righteousness is what? Righteous. Even as he is what? Righteous. Now look at verse 8. Read that with me. He that committeth sin is of who? He that committed sin is of what? The devil. For the devil sinned from what? The beginning. Now this is what I really like about it. He says, now, if you're sinning, you're of the devil. Because the devil sinned from the beginning, and that's his DNA. And we say sin is what? Missing the mark of God. We're not doing what's pleasing God. If you're not doing what's pleasing God, you're doing what's pleasing yourself. And what's pleasing yourself is what's pleasing the devil. I know we try to camouflage it up. I ain't serving no devil. Well, you serving yourself, you serving the devil. You might well go and break it out. Well, who you serving if you serving yourself? Be not deceived, church. Amen.
He says, now he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. But he says, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. I like that. He said, now when you can't help yourself, look, he says, when I want to do right, Paul says, sin is, evil's all within me. Amen. He said, yeah, when I want, he said, there's something that's battling and fighting against me. He says, that's why the Son of God was manifested. See, because he keeps it back to the foundation. It ain't nothing that you're going to be able to do. You hear what I'm saying? He said, now, he said, now, whoever sinned, they're the child of the devil, because the devil sinned from the very beginning. But he said, but this is why the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Oh, my God. That's why you got to be excited about Jesus, because the Son of God was manifested that he might what? Destroy the works of the devil. Well, what works you talking about? Those dead works. Those dead works. The Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the work of the devil. So what you saying, Pastor? Said, I got to understand who Jesus is in my life. I got to understand not only who saved me, I got to understand that I am saved, but I got to understand the person that saved me. I got to know my Savior, and my Savior comes to destroy the work of the enemy working on the inside of my life. I must understand this. Now look what he says. He says, whosoever, verse 9, whosoever is born of God, do not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is what? Born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So he's dealing with this here. He said, if you don't do right, you're not of God. Those that do right are of God. Saints, church, what I'm saying is, this thing has to be done daily. It's a daily walk. It's a daily dying to ourselves. It really is. It truly is. It truly is. Because the minute that you don't die to yourself, yourself is going to want to do what it wants to do. It's still around. It's still there. But it says, but this is why the Son of God was manifested, to destroy the works of the. This is why Jesus Christ says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's why he goes on to say, take my yoke, again, my yoke is easy, my burden. But this is why he says, sit at my feet and learn of me. And learn of me. Because I'm the only one that can break that yoke off of you. I'm the only one. He's the only. That's the reason why I was manifested. And then my goal is to be mature and to be what? Just like Jesus. I want to be just like Jesus. We're close to ending here. Look at verse 18. You see verse 18? Verse 18. 1 John 3 and 18. Are you there? We got one more scripture after this. He says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in what? Deed and in truth. He said, now just don't say it. Just don't say it and talk it. He said, but you got to have some action with it. And not only do you got to have some action with it, you got to have some love wrapped with it as well. Amen. He says, this is another indication of a little child. Little children, Christians, will say, I'm going to do this, Pastor, and they don't do it. That's a sign that you're just a little child. And I ain't mad at you. I ain't upset at you. But if you say you were going to do something, and it's the same way. If I said I was going to do something and didn't do it, amen. Look, I have folks, you know, and I'm like this, you know. I heard someone say this, and it's not biblical. You hear what you mean? But they say this. You hear people say, don't charge it to my heart. Charge it to my head. All right, well, how many charges did I got to give your head? Huh? You mean, I know his grace is sufficient for all of us, but if you are a repeat offender, You know, we got to start checking this up to maturity, not just to your head. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, don't charge it to my head, you know, to my heart. That was my head, Pastor. All right. Well, if it's to your head, your thinking need to be changed. Amen. But he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. You see, he's walking through here and he's maturing them. This is why we need to stay in the word, because we mature in the word of God. And then look here in chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. My God, time won't give us, I'm telling. 4 and 4, are you there? Amen. It says, my Lord, look at verse 1. 4 and 1, you there? It says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. You see that? Now he says, now, beloved, believe. Who you think he's talking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to the little children. He's talking to the fathers. He's talking to all of them. He says, beloved, believe not every what? Spirit. See, that's the little S. The little S is the spirit, amen, the spirit of man. The big S is the spirit of God. And the big S got to overtake the little S. You know what I'm saying? So he said, now look at him. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are what? Of God. Because many false what? Prophets are gone out into the world. He says, hereby know ye the spirit of God. I thank God for a good father. Because a good father going to tell you, better watch this. But I'm going to tell you, amen. I'm going to correct you, but I'm going to give you some instruction. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit. Look at verse 2. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of what? God. Now, what you talking about, Pastor? Let me tell you here. This is when you start dealing with them demons, them other spirits. And this is when you really find out where they are, where they at. You start talking to them, asking them, do they believe in the Son of the Most High God? Amen. You see, the Bible says those that don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, amen, they of the devil. You hear what I'm saying? That's the wrong spirit. That's the wrong spirit. But if they believe, see, listen to this now. The Bible says, you got to even understand this now, because we talked about dead faith, demonic faith, and dynamic faith. So you even got to watch them devils. The Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. Amen. They can believe and tremble, but when you declare Jesus Christ, they got to come out. You know what I'm saying? They got to come out. And so you got to try these spirits, amen, because the Bible says that the devil, he do believe in God. He believe and he even tremble in this particular thing. But the Bible says that you got to try the spirits, the little S. You got to try the spirits and know that they believe in God. And the way you try them is, again, look right here what it says. And he's talking to the church. He said, because what? Many false prophets. Now, listen to this. He's talking about the spirit that operate behind the gifts that's operating even in the house of God. So what he's saying is, yo, pastor, if I'm up here bringing you the word day in and day out, week in and week out, and I'm not talking about Jesus, I'm not declaring that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, somebody need to know. Somebody need to start knowing this question. What does pastor believe in there? He ain't lifting up Jesus up in that house. You know what I'm saying? Our music should talk about Jesus. The word preached should be about Jesus. Everything should be about Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of places meeting because, you know what, we don't want to bring that name up here because we want to pack the house out. We want to get everybody in here. We ain't going to use religious terms and signals because people are not going to know that. Now, that's the reason why you need to train people so they can know what the Bible said. Amen. What you going to do, create a Bible that takes all of that out? Yes, yeah, they have. And so people need to learn. We got to mature and grow up in the thing. Look, just like this is the way I understand it right here. The Holy Spirit, he always gives me things. Now, isn't it strange that if we go work with Procter & Gamble, Procter & Gamble got their own language, do they not? And guess what? When you go to work for them, what you got to learn? You got to learn their language. If you work for Fifth Third Bank, they got their own language. Amen. You're going to roll up in there and you're going to learn their language. Great American, amen, insurance, amen. You go up in there, they got their language in the insurance business. Guess what? You're going to learn that language. Well, why can we not come to church and learn the language of the church? Help me to understand that. Oh, no, we can't talk about tongues and we can't talk about these things here because it's going to make them afraid and run them off. No. We got to correct them and give them instruction. They got to be taught, amen, and we got to have things to teach them where they are at. But what they don't understand, the person at P&G, the person at Great American Insurance, the person at, amen, Fifth Third Bank, they all need the Holy Ghost. They all need the spirit of the living God on the deep down on the inside of them so they know what spirit is behind who they are dealing with in their workplace and also in their church. Man, I know I'm not, man, Lord. So I want us to understand that we got to experience maturity. Now look what he says here. I'm going to go down to verse 4. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You hear that? You hear that? Amen. Do you hear that? Amen. He said, now don't you worry about that, because greater is he that's on the inside of you than he that is in the world. I promise you, this is the last scripture. One for the Father, one for the Son, third one for the Holy Ghost. Same book, 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Look at verse 13. He's wrapping it up. He says, these things have I written unto you, that you believe on the name of the Son of God. You hear what he's saying? He says, I'm telling you all of this, that you believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. So think about all that deep stuff that he done told them. He's telling them so that we can all be in the unity of the faith. That we all admit, that we all, the fivefold ministry, that we can all be in the unity of the faith. Amen. That we all can believe in the same Savior, the same Son, the same God. Yeah, yeah. He said, I'm telling you all of this so that you can believe and be firm in your foundation and your understanding and your belief that Jesus Christ is not only the Son of God, he is your Savior and he is your Lord. And essentially, you cannot do anything without him. You cannot live life the way God wants you to live life without Jesus Christ being your Lord, not only being your Savior, but also being your Lord. Come on up, praise and worship team. Amen. Come on up. We're gonna close here. Hallelujah. 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 For those of you that still have your Bibles open, I want you to see this last thing in verse 21. We're in the same place. Verse 21. It says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. That's the last thing that he said to him. The very last thing that he said to him. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. But the last word he said was, amen. So be it. Keep ourselves from idols. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord wants us to grow up. He wants us to experience maturity and to be no more children. I believe everyone here today, I believe all of us want to grow up. That's why we come to the house of the Lord. It's to grow and to mature in the things of God. Amen. Can we stand to our feet? We're going to...